I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio. Bob Zimmerman of Behind the Black is here, and he's going to take us to the NASA robot, very successful, called Hubble. Bob has a profile, a biography of Hubble called Universe in a Mirror. The problems, Bob, the problems come and the problems go. Hubble seems to be one of those engineering miracles that is all, that whatever problem it presents, it can be solved. What recent problem have they solved?
Well, about a week ago, Hubble went into safe mode suddenly. Safe mode is a system where the computers detect something's not quite right, and rather than continue to operate and have it keep getting worse, it shuts everything down and goes into a safe position and radios to the ground help. And so the engineers on the ground look it over and try to figure out what went wrong, and then they proceed to try to fix it. And in the case of Hubble, yes, they've managed to pin down what the issues were, mostly had to do with a computer software upgrade they uploaded, which actually had some conflicts and bugs, and that caused problems, so they were able to figure that out and fix it. And they were able to get the telescope back into operation, and it's now once again doing full science work again. But along the way, there are several issues with it that we merely must point out, because Hubble is old. Hubble was launched in 1990, and even though all the instruments on it were replaced over the years so that they're not as old as the basic telescope, it's still old. It's been up there for 30 years. And so in this safe mode, several things happen that are a little disturbing. For one, Hubble's telescope top has a door. It's kind of like a lens cap. It's a door that opens and closes. So when it goes into safe mode, that door is supposed to automatically close. They discovered in this safe mode it didn't close. And the reason they want it closed, because if the telescope accidentally points to the sun into that mirror, the amount of magnified heat that would suddenly produce would literally destroy the telescope. So they must keep that telescope from never pointing into the sun. They have rules where it never gets closer to 30 degrees to the sun, just for safety. But when it goes into safe mode, who knows what could happen? The door didn't close. And the engineers tested and figured out the reason it didn't close is that the motor that opens and closes the door had failed. It won't work anymore. They have gone to a backup motor, and that works, but the primary motor is dead. There's no redundancy there anymore. Secondly, one of the cameras on Hubble that was installed in the last shuttle servicing mission in 2009, the Wide Field Camera Number 3, which is the third wide-field camera they had installed. They had two previous ones, and they replaced them. Well, the third this camera, it did not go back into operation when they came out of safe mode. It had more problems. And it appears it has to do with power supplies. As it ages, they have to change the amount of power they feed to it because it's beginning, as equipment is beginning to deteriorate. And it appears that the powering up process disturbed the computer and the sensors on the wide field camera, and it decided to shut down. And the engineers looked at this, and they figured out what settings they need to do to get it back in operation, and they were able to get it back in operation. But once again, we are looking at the aging of the telescope. And as I noted on Behind the Black, at some point in the maybe near future, something is going to go wrong with Hubble, and it will be dead. And it will not come back to life. Now, there are talk about a man using a Dragon capsule or a Starlink capsule to go up there and do repair missions. That might still happen down the road. We might even have robotic missions to go to Hubble to do more repairs. But we are faced with a situation that if it goes dead, it will be hard to justify a repair mission at that point. And this is something to be realistic on.
Old robots never die, Bob. They just fade away. Let's go to another robot that's doing very well because it's in the prime of life. OSIRIS-REx, you've been preparing for some time to approach Bennu. How's it doing, and why is it approaching one more time?
Well, okay, it did its sample grab and go from its landing site, Nightingale, last year, and after doing that, it's got its sample, and it's going to come back to Earth, start returning to Earth. It's going to do its return engine burn in May and return sometime in 23, I think, September of 23. But before it does that, there's time enough for it to reapproach the asteroid Bennu and get one last close look of its entire surface and include a really close look at that Nightingale landing site. And the reason to do that is this is a rubble pile. We've never seen something like this before. And to get another view of that landing site after the landing, the touch and go, will tell them a lot about the interior and surface of the asteroid, because that touch and go went a foot and a half into the ground. The ground is so rubbly and soft, essentially, and so everything got disturbed. And when you can look at after the fact how it got disturbed, they'll get a much better idea about the asteroid's interior, surface, makeup, density, rocks, everything about it. And having that baseline information before and after the touchdown can then be applied for when they get the sample back on Earth. It'll give them the background information to the samples themselves. And so that's why they're doing it. Last week, it fired its engines, and it began that last approach. This started on March 4th. The actual closest flyby will be on April 7th. And they will get, I think, within 2 kilometers, what is that, about a mile, a little less than a mile and a half of the surface of Nightingale, the actual touch and go site. And we'll get high resolution images of this, and it's going to be really interesting to do a before and after of that site, John.
I think it is a mile and a half. You're very good, Bob. 10-8. Bob, OSIRIS-REx has a life beyond Bennu. Is it approved yet for Apophis 29? Do we know?
No. They have proposed, they're looking at a whole bunch of things, but until it actually returns its sample, they won't make any decision, I think. I could be wrong on that. They make the decision beforehand, but right now that's premature. They have pointed out that this spacecraft, after it returns its sample, will be well placed to do a close approach of the potentially dangerous asteroid Apophis when it makes its close approach to the Earth in 2029. And so that's a proposal that's out there. I think the odds are very high that they will get it approved and they will make that close approach.
Finally, less than a minute, Bob. Arecibo, are they going to rebuild?
I don't know. The Arecibo is in the process of cleanup. It's really much, pretty much destroyed. There is a proposal out there to actually rebuild it in a different way so that it's made up of many small movable dishes, and so you wouldn't need the overhead platform, instrument platform, that basically destroyed the radio telescope. I'm not sure this will get funded. It's cost $500 million. It might make more sense to build it on the moon instead of spending the money on Earth. Arecibo is in a bowl, so even if you have a wider view with movable antennas, dishes, you still can't see the entire sky. Instead, if you put it on the moon, you get the whole sky, everything. And so I don't know if that'll actually happen, but it's a proposal to do it. And, you know, politicians like to do these things. It's good pork, so it might happen still.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Batchelor, represented by CBS News Radio.